Sister Julia was born Stanisława Rozinska in southern Poland in 1899. Tragedy struck the family very early on, when Stanisława's mother had passed away, leaving behind two sons and two daughters. 2 years later, her father died, leaving Stanisława and her siblings orphans. The parish priest arranged for Stanisława and her sister Janina to stay with the Sisters of St. Dominic, who served in the parish. Stanisława took part in the Sisters' parish ministry, primarily teaching catechism classes, serving the sick of the village, and accompanying with the dying. Such experiences undoubtedly shaped young Stanisława Rozinska, who for some time expressed interest in becoming a sister herself. In August of 1917, Stanisława received the Dominican habit and the name Maria Julia, and began to more systematically learn how to love and serve God in the charism of the Sisters of St. Dominic. After novitiate, Sister Julia resumed training to be a teacher, along with working in an orphanage the Sisters had recently opened for casualties of World War I. Sister Julia spent a year or two teaching school as well. Then World War II came to Vilnius. In September of 1939, the Soviets took over the region. In October, they gave Vilnius to Lithuania. In June of 1941, it was occupied by the Germans. Residents had to adjust to three different governments within a short time, and the sisters' work became increasingly difficult under anti-Catholic regimes. In September of 1940, they were dismissed from their teaching positions. Determined to influence the children in their care as long as possible, the sisters tried to serve as support staff. To make this possible, they received permission to wear secular clothes. In January of 1941, however, the sisters were rejected from their convent and had to scramble to find other residences and work. As superior, Sister Julia had a daunting burden. Finding homes and jobs for her sisters was not easy in a wartime environment hostile to Poles. She was able to place some sick and elderly sisters as housemaids with kindly families, while she and others found lodging with the nuns of the Visitation. Sister Julia did not rest there. She joined in underground activities to pass on the Polish language and history, as well as the Catholic religion, subjects that were being suppressed and replaced by Lithuanian policies. On July 12, 1943, Sister Julia and three of her sisters were arrested at the Visitation nuns' residence. They were taken to the Wilkiszki prison, which the Gestapo used for roundups and reprisal mass executions. While the others were held in a collective cell, Sister Julia was placed in solitary confinement in cell 31B, a cement closet so small that she could only sit. Sister Julia endured these conditions for a year. Probably the greatest source of Sister Julia's suffering was being deprived of the sacraments. Surely, she must have relied on the one thing available to her, and which she had always treasured, prayer. One prisoner who passed Sister Julia as she was being led from the isolation cell recalled that peace and interior recollection radiated from her face. Her sisters at the general house heard that Sister Julia was suffering unspeakably, but with faith that God's providence would allow her to persist until release. Sister Julia's fellow sisters were released from the Wilkiszki prison, but she was not. Instead, in the sweltering heat of July of 1944, she was transported to the concentration camp, Stutthof. Despite the hellish atmosphere, Sister Julia was known to be constantly immersed in prayer. Prayer was so valuable to Sister Julia that she traded bread for a rosary. She also smuggled notes to other parts of the camp to arrange for a priest prisoner to come over on the work assignment. While she risked her life by smuggling notes, she showed that others' lives were invaluable to her. She also sent repeated notes to the husband of a fellow prisoner until she effectively dissuaded him from suicide. The prisoner survived the camp, and later he recounted that Sister Julia had awakened hope in him that allowed him to overcome his fear of life in Stutthof. He was only one of the many depressed, beaten, and broken people who received words of hope and encouragement from Sister Julia. Sister Julia's discernment of her own life's end came in November of 1944. when a typhus epidemic spread through the camp to the weakest and most decimated, the Jewish women's quarters. While healthier prisoners tried to distance themselves from those infected, Sister Julia resolved to aid the sick. Barrack 30 was like a death house of typhus, which no one wanted to approach, but Sister Julia did. Those infected with typhus were left lying in their own waste, helplessly eaten by lice, and dehydrated from diarrhea. Doing what little she could, she moistened their lips with water and comforted them by merciful actions and spiritual words. She even rescued one of those who had been left for dead, taking particular care of her so that the woman could survive the camp and return to her little daughter outside. While the woman did survive, Sister Julia fell victim to the typhus herself, as Sister Julia was overcome with typhus fever. She clearly knew death was approaching, and prisoners witnessed tears come from her, tears and prayers for those loved ones whom she would not see again. Even as it became more and more difficult to move, Sister Julia did not stop serving others. Her sick neighbors called her name and waited for her to lean over them. On January the 26th, the Germans began to evacuate Stutthof because of the Allies' advance. Some were left behind, including several thousand Jewish women who were emaciated to the stage of semi-corpses and as such were not subject to evacuation. After the evacuation, chaos and disorganization overwhelmed the barracks. For several days, no meals were distributed, registrations were not kept, and the Jewish section remained strictly isolated. Sister Julia died less than a month later, only a few months before the camp was liberated. On February the 20th, those lying near her in Barrack 27 heard her murmured prayers cease. This was their notice that her soul had passed. Subsequent actions reveal much about conditions in the camp and Sister Julia's impact on others. Although some took the opportunity to pull the crowns from her mouth, another person covered her body with a piece of cloth as it lay naked with those of other victims. This was a telling sign of respect. The words of those who survived Sister Julia perhaps tell it best. Not only Catholic compatriots mourned her death, but also Russians, Latvians, and others. The Jewish woman did not hesitate to call Sister Julia a martyr and a saint. She gave her life for others, died sacrificing herself, and she was the angel of goodness. Blessed Julia Rozinska, pray for us.